This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm so glad you decided to spend the next hour with me. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. Before I introduce my guest for today's show, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and get our free ebook, Overcoming Portion Distortion. It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making any mealtime fun and healthy. So get your free copy at eatgreatlivewellradio.com. We've got another great show for you today, so grab a pen and paper and your favorite beverage, and let's get started. My guest today is body confidence and lifestyle coach Stephanie Ferrison. Stephanie works with men and women who are struggling with body image and weight management issues. Stephanie's approach is both compassionate and empowering. Through her own experience and personal training, she guides her clients to dig deeper, explore new ways of thinking, not just new diets, and search within to find answers. Stephanie provides her clients support, education, motivation, and insight on how to stop obsessing over food and stop overeating in the process. She believes that everyone can step into their full potential and create the life they deserve. I know that Stephanie has a lot to share with us today, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you so much, Janelle. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, this is a conversation that is very close to my heart and something that I talk a lot about. Can you tell us a little bit more about your background and what it means to be a body confidence coach?
Sure, of course. So my background is fairly diverse. I started my education in exercise science, where I learned a lot about, you know, the way the body works and about nutrition. And then I realized what I really wanted to do was work one-on-one with people and just help them feel healthier. I wasn't sure what that would look like, but that was kind of the idea of what I wanted my career to be down the line. So I went to graduate school for my master's in health promotion, which is basically the psychology of behavior change, understanding what it takes to move us into positive behavior and away from some of the negative and riskier behaviors that we sometimes get into. So through that experience, I started health coaching, and I worked in health coaching in childhood obesity prevention research and in chronic disease management, and it was really interesting, and I learned a ton while I was in that field. But what I realized is that in working in research, you could only go so deep up to a certain point with clients before, unfortunately, the nature of research was that it ends, we do data analysis, and then, you know, the hope is that something comes out of it so we can create a program. But I just found that I really wanted more. I wanted to create relationships with clients where I was working with them on topics that I felt passionately about and that I could really continue working with them to help them see the changes that they so wanted to see. So what it means to be a body confidence for me right now is that, unlike a weight loss coach, I'm working with clients to help them make peace with their body as it is at its current size, rather than focus solely on losing weight, on counting calories, on weighing out foods, because I just don't see that as a sustainable way of living. So the idea of body confidence is that you can love your body as it is now and still want it to change. You know, for instance, to be able to move without pain, to be stronger. But without that acceptance for what it is, there's that constant battle, fight, struggle to lose weight, and it just doesn't create a healthy relationship and kind of makes it very difficult to move forward in that goal.
So are you saying once someone becomes confident with who they are and how their body looks, then they can start to change and make that shift?
That's absolutely right. It's really about a mindset, getting to a healthier mindset about what our bodies are and what they mean to us, and then being able to take care of it from a place of loving it versus hating it and wanting it so desperately to change.
That's interesting, because we know that when we're looking at the negative side of it, no matter what we do, we don't make the type of shifts that we want to make. So it sounds like when you make that positive mindset shift and really look at in saying it's okay where it is, that's when you can really start to see the shift.
Exactly.
Interesting, very interesting. And I know you've had a really interesting journey to healthfulness. Can you tell us a little bit about your, you know, your journey and share your story?
Absolutely. So this is something that I'm really open about, and I find that it really helps my clients a lot because we're able to establish a level of trust, but also I've been where they stand. I know what it's been like, and I've traveled along that road, and I'm just, you know, a little bit ahead. So basically, my struggle was really for 10 years, just about, where I was obsessed with food, whether it was eating too little or too much, whether I was 10 pounds underweight or 10 pounds overweight. What I found is that regardless of what size my body was, when I was obsessed with food and counting calories and constantly stepping on the scale to see how much I weighed, I was completely miserable. And I just felt like food and calories were always on the forefront of my mind, and I wasn't really able to do anything else. You know, so when I wanted to be spending time with friends, my obsession with food would really restrict me from doing those things. And I felt disconnected from everyone. I felt disconnected from my career. I felt disconnected from the people who I love and care about. And what I found was that all I really wanted was to feel healthy and happy and confident. And I thought that I needed to be thin to attain that. So what I realized, though, is that even when I was thin, I still wasn't happy or healthy or confident. And when I was overeating, I still didn't achieve those things. So I really yo-yoed from one end to the other and have experienced both sides of that, whether it was restriction or binge eating or emotional eating, which was, you know, using food for emotional reasons. One way or another, I just didn't have a healthy relationship with food, and it was impacting different areas of my life.
So how did you first know that that was what was really going on, and then what did you start to do to make your shift?
I think when I was in it, I always knew, I was always very consciously aware that what I was doing wasn't really the best thing for my body. I had been healthy as a little kid. I grew up in a family where food was loved. Food was part of love. Food was family. We sat down for a home-cooked meal every night. Food was very normalized. I was allowed to eat whatever I wanted, and there was no thought about eating light or counting our calories. And so this shift to a different mindset where I always thought about food and I was always, you know, restricting calories and thinking about how many sugars, how many grams of fat I was eating, I knew that that was a very different mindset and probably one that wasn't supporting a healthy lifestyle for me. When I tried to change something about it, when I tried to go from restriction to a more normalized way of eating, that's where I struggled a lot because I didn't really have the support that I guess needed at that time. I was in college and didn't feel like I could talk to anyone about this and was embarrassed, ashamed, and kind of guilty that I was in a study where I was learning about bodies and healthy eating, and yet I was in the midst of this struggle. So I tried to do it on my own, and what I found was that when I did put on a healthy amount of weight and my body changed dramatically in one summer, I gained over 10 pounds, I found myself struggling in a new body, one that felt foreign to me. And that's when I really started trying to restrict again. But what I found was that after I had gained that weight, it was harder to lose it. And so the fight in a different way then began.
Interesting. So you've really been probably where a lot of your clients are, and you know intimately what that struggle is like. So, you know, how did the, when you sought out help, what do you think was the big shift in getting you to stop doing what you were doing and listen to the experts?
Mm-hmm. So that's a great question because it actually did not come from the experts. I thought one of the biggest reasons that I do what I do currently is that traditional therapy and traditional approaches just didn't work for me. What I found was that I wasn't able to make the changes that I wanted to make as quickly as I wanted to make them. And so it felt like I was just prolonging the struggle and I couldn't see an end to it. So what I started doing is actually just testing different theories out. What I realized is that no matter how hard I tried to set rules and abide to those rules, whether they were dietary guidelines or telling myself that I would exercise every day and I would eat minimally, I always broke those rules. And there was something about the way that I had been eating and had been living my life as a child when I was growing up healthfully that I remembered. And it was that food was never off limits. We always had healthy meals. We sat down for meals and ate and enjoyed. And exercise was always playtime for me. But when I was struggling with food, food was kind of like the bane of my existence. I either wanted to avoid it or I wanted to have it all. And exercise just felt like it was torture. And so part of my overcoming that was really one big pivotal moment where I remember vividly just lying on my floor on a spot in my apartment, and the sun was shining in, and I remember lying in that spot and just crying and thinking to myself about all of these memories, about remembering times when I felt confident, when I felt good about myself, when I felt carefree and connected to my loved ones, to my friends. And I felt like the more I struggled with this and the more I persisted in this fight against my body, the further away I went from that person who I knew, and I desperately wanted to be there again. So what I really realized was that this wasn't about the weight. This wasn't about being thin. This was about gaining my confidence back. This was about enjoying my life and living it as if weight wasn't the number one factor that was, you know, going to make or break me. And so with that shift came a different idea of how I wanted to treat myself. I began eating meals that felt good for my body and let go of my control over weight. I put the scale away and I said, you know what? I'd rather put on the weight and be happy than continue with this struggle. And yes, it absolutely took trial and error, which I think I would have gone through even if I had had the support of any traditional therapy, just because your body is adjusting to something new. But over time, what I realized is that I could actually eat meals that I really enjoyed. I felt a lot less stressed out about things. I didn't gain a pound. And actually, a year later, I started losing weight. So it was a big shift in my mentality and then a big shift in my body as well, as I started treating it differently.
Really interesting, and I appreciate you sharing your story. We need to take a quick break, but when we come back, I really want to talk just a little bit more about how you took something that could have been negative and you really turned it around and listened to your body and learned. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com. That's managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley. Today we're talking with Stephanie Farrison. And before the break, we were talking about body confidence, and Stephanie shared her amazing story. And I love the way, Stephanie, that you were able to really, you know, you didn't get the results you wanted from the traditional experts, so you really looked at yourself, and I love the way that you listened to your body and started treating your body better, looking at things from a more healthful perspective, and really taking back control instead of letting your body control you. You really took control of your body.
Absolutely.
You know, I love to ask my guests, what motivates them? And I think part of it is your story, but what really motivates you to live healthier? We call it your big why. So what is your big why, and how has it motivated you to help others live healthier?
That's a great question. So my big why is that I realize how much a struggle with food and with weight can hold us back in other areas of our life. Like I was mentioning in my story about my struggle and how I've overcome that, what I realized in that struggle is that it was never really about the food, but while I was struggling, it made it very difficult for me to fully enjoy my life, but also find the confidence in myself to pursue my passion and to even start my business right now and to give and receive love more deeply. It's really opened up different channels of my life, and in seeing how it's transformed my life, I've always been motivated to give that gift of food freedom to other men and women out there who are struggling with this issue and seeing how it's affecting other areas of their lives. You know, it's motivated me to continue living a healthier life because I just realize how inspired I am to live and to enjoy the little moments when I have this kind of like reignited fire within to actually breathe into those moments and not constantly be thinking about what I ate a couple of hours ago or what I'm going to eat in the future or how guilty I feel about food that I've eaten in the past. So it's really just been this huge liberating moment in my life, and I've wanted to share that with others.
I love that where you talk about giving people, I really see it as giving them the gift of food freedom, because I don't think people realize how much when we obsess over food, where we want something, where we're craving something, where we're thinking about our next meal, how much that energy that takes and how much that takes our focus away from actually living our life and, you know, from getting all the things that we really, you know, can get in life when we're obsessed with food.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of the people who I work with, you know, kind of based on principles of the law of attraction, I tend to attract a lot of people who are similar in personality traits as I am. So these are really driven, motivated people, the type of people who are used to working to get what they want. And so this is an extremely frustrating area of their life where they feel like no matter how hard they work to get a thinner body or to, you know, just feel good in their bodies, they just can't seem to get it. And so this struggle really can deplete their confidence in being able to take different changes in other areas of their lives or really fully enjoy it because they feel like they constantly have to keep working, have to keep doing something, and they don't really have the freedom to experience their life the way they want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, and I absolutely agree. And I know when you were telling your story, and I know there are a lot of health coaches and nutrition experts out there, but you didn't find anyone, none of the experts were really able to help you, so you really created your own approach. What advice would you give to people for selecting the approach that's best for them?
Mm-hmm. So honestly, my best advice for finding someone to work with is speaking with someone and seeing who you feel connected with. Someone who doesn't judge or make you feel anything but comfortable is a must for me because you're trusting this person to hold a safe space for you to share personal information that can make you feel vulnerable. So part of that, I think, is also speaking with someone who's stood where you stand and can speak about what works and what doesn't because they've gone through it as well. I really think that that makes a huge difference, and that's part of what makes my approach really compassionate because I do understand where you've stood. I have been there, and I can share with you the things that worked and that didn't work, not only from a professional standpoint, but because I've been there as well.
Well, and you also understand the emotions they're going from. I always thought that was interesting when people were coaching or were teaching something that all they had was the book knowledge. And I absolutely value education and book knowledge, so I'm not discounting that at all. But I think there's something to be said when someone has actually stood where someone is, when they've experienced it, they understand the emotions, they understand the thoughts. Each person is a little bit different, but it still really says something about knowing where they're coming from. And it also gives you kind of that sense of questions to ask. And you often know what they're thinking. It's often what they're not saying versus what they are saying.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's kind of like in so many ways you can stay a step ahead when you have that experience because you can anticipate the things that are maybe running in their minds or the things that could happen, the moments where they could feel like they're slipping off track or moving away from progress. You can anticipate those moments and help them through it. Makes a really big difference.
Absolutely. And oftentimes when you're going through this type of journey or change and changing your habits, there are certain key times in the process when you're changing a habit, when you're doing something that you know that they're going to have, even if they're going along great, you know that they're going to have kind of a stumbling point. So having been there, you can proactively make sure they're aware of that, and you can watch for signs to help keep them on track and, you know, check in at certain points. So it does make a huge difference.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us how your approach to a healthy lifestyle is different from dieting?
Yes. So definitely different from dieting in the sense that I don't believe in counting calories or grams or fat or weighing out food. My approach is really loosely based on intuitive eating, which is about listening to our body's cues for hunger and fullness. But I think similar to dieting, intuitive eating can get a little bit misconstrued and a little hazy because it can turn into a diet. You know, the truth of the matter is that there are times that we eat outside of hunger or that we eat even though we're full. And that's okay. And I try to help my clients understand that. So part of it is definitely listening to their bodies and starting to make that connection again. Because what diets do to us over time is that they teach us to not trust our bodies anymore. We start to trust outside authorities or outside rules telling us when to eat, what to eat, and how much. And so we kind of begin to move away from our bodies, and the truth is that our bodies are the closest things to us. They want nothing but the best for us. So reestablishing that trust is absolutely crucial in moving away from a diet mentality. And then in addition to that, I think where I differ from maybe some other intuitive eating coaches, for instance, is that I also educate my clients around nutrition and eating meals that are balanced so that your body is actually functioning optimally. And I base that off of my studies from a phenomenal doctor named Dr. Schwarzbein. She's someone who's helped people lose weight but also reverse a lot of chronic diseases. So I truly believe in her, and her background is based on macronutrients and just having a very, I think, normalized approach to dieting. I don't believe necessarily that there's any one diet that's the best diet. I've studied hundreds of dietary theories, and I work with people who don't eat meat, who don't eat grains. Everyone has a different dietary approach because I believe that your body knows best. And so for you to listen to it and eat the foods that make you feel the best.
Well, and I absolutely agree with you. I think, you know, for if someone really wants to lose weight, I think any diet will work as long as you follow the rules. But what happens is after a week or two when you stop doing that, you go back to what you were doing before because you really aren't getting to the root of it. And I love the intuitive eating, really becoming more attuned to the body's natural hunger signals. It's really the best way to get and attain your healthy weight. I find one of the biggest challenges is that people really don't understand what hunger feels like. They're so used to just putting food in their body. We need to actually take a really quick break. And when we come back, I want to just talk about this a little bit more because I think it's important for people to understand what hunger really feels like and how they can start identifying that. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Stephanie Farrison. And before the break, we were talking about intuitive eating and trusting your body and really listening to hunger and getting to know it. And I'd love to continue that conversation, Stephanie, and talk a little bit about emotional versus hunger-based eating, because I'm not sure people often know the difference. When I ask people, how do you know you're hungry? They have a really hard time describing what physical hunger actually feels like. Do you hear get that?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's just like we were saying before, is that we lose the sense of being able to understand our bodies and pick up on those natural cues for hunger and fullness. And so one of the biggest things to learn is just listening to your body and understanding what those cues are, what they feel like, and how to really know. When I speak with clients about intuitive eating and about understanding their levels of hunger again, one of the things that I start to talk to them about is just feeling that sensation of emptiness, of growling in your stomach, and knowing that that's a feeling of hunger, knowing that you need to eat. Or when, for instance, your energy level starts to dip down low, that's typically a sign for you to eat again because your blood sugar is dropping. You know, for a lot of people who are struggling with emotional eating, that feeling of emptiness in your stomach, that growling, is actually very scary to them, which is part of the reason that they reach for food even outside of hunger, because that feeling of emptiness in their stomach often correlates too strongly to emptiness that they might feel in another part of their life. Mm-hmm. So when I say that, what I mean is, using myself as an example, when I would feel hunger, it was terrifying to me because it was a reminder of loneliness, of feeling alone in this struggle. And rather than feel that, I, you know, anticipated feeling hungry and reached for food even when I wasn't hungry. And when you eat outside of hunger, you have no sign telling you to stop because the sign telling you to start was never there in the first place.
That's an interesting way to think about it. And I think people really do have a hard time knowing what physical hunger is. So I like the way you described it. And oftentimes, even thinking you're physically hungry could just be because you're thirsty. I think a lot of people don't take and drink enough. Just something as simple as drinking water. I talk to people all the time, and they say they don't like it. You know, and all you got to do is put some fruit in it, put some, you know, cucumbers, put something in it to give it a little bit of flavor. You don't have to make it sugary, and it makes a big difference in enjoying it. So find something that you enjoy, you know, the flavor of, and make sure that people are drinking enough water, because that'll also make you feel hungry.
You know, it's interesting because there is no signal for thirst. So that same signal telling us, you know, to drink is actually, like you said, commonly misconceived as being hunger.
Yeah. Every so often what I'll do is I'll fill up a pitcher of water so I know how much is in it, because I think we often think we're drinking enough, we're getting enough fluids in our body, but I'm not. So it's a great reminder to me, because I'll go back out at the end of the day and it's like, wait a minute, it's still three quarters full, which means I didn't drink what I was supposed to. And I think even like getting up from your desk and doing things like that, we think we're doing so much more than we are. I tell people we got a Fitbit recently, and it was really interesting because I thought I was walking a lot, but when you actually look at the number at the end of the day, it was like one of those big ahas, because I thought I was getting up and moving around and doing all those things. But I think we tend to tell ourselves what we want to hear, not necessarily what we need to hear. So I encourage people to just look at what they're doing and find something that's going to be a reminder to really reinforce that you're doing it or you're not. And if you're not, adjust your patterns, adjust what you're doing, because it's easy to make those adjustments if you're aware that you're, you know, not doing something.
Right. No, that's a great way of putting it. And I love what you said about even just tracking water. I do the same thing. I carry a water bottle with me, and I know how much I want to drink throughout a day, and I can feel the difference. I mean, I know when I'm drinking enough, my body just feels really good, and I can see the difference in my skin. So it's definitely something important to track. And like you said, it's interesting how we can kind of trick ourselves into believing that we're doing more than we actually are, or that we're making all of these efforts. I think a lot of times it's kind of like the subconscious mind tricks us into saying, you're doing fine. You tried so hard and it's still not working. Kind of trying to tell us to sabotage our efforts, and why bother?
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. And I love that you talk about giving people power over food. So I want to ask you, is healthy eating just a matter of willpower, or is there something more to it?
So I actually think that it's not really about willpower, because when I think about power over food, again, it goes to that mindset about, you know, power over food is where you question your urge to eat and you start to dig a little bit deeper and you maybe investigate if this is eating outside of hunger, if it's an emotional eating reason. And if it's an emotional reason, starting to address what's at the root of it, the issue. Whereas willpower, I see as, you know, as it's defined, it's fighting the urge, fighting one's impulses. So in this case, it would be fighting the urge to eat. And I find that willpower can be exhausted, almost like it's a depletable source, right? Because the more and more you have to use it, the less and less you have to be able to continue fighting. At some point, you just get so tired of fighting, and when you finally feel like you can no longer fight your urge to eat, you give up, and it can be really damaging to our self-confidence and our hope in ourselves, you know, in hoping that you can change. So when I say power over food, I really think that where that's different from willpower is that it gives you the opportunity to investigate a little bit more as to why. Why do I want to eat? Versus willpower, where you assume the worst and you never start to question what are the motives behind wanting to reach for food. You never get to address the issue at hand.
I like that difference, and I like the way you described it, because you're right, willpower, eventually you run out and people are going to give up. And I think then they say, well, I'm going to give up anyway, so why even try? Why start? But once they realize that they can have that power over food and take that's really taking back control of it, owning your choices and being aware of what you're doing, I think makes such a difference on what people do and how they kind of step into it and, you know, start to make that shift.
Absolutely. And I love what you said, owning your choices. That's huge. And that's honestly one of the biggest things that my clients say, is that in all areas of their lives, when they start to own, you know, their choices, the choices that they're making, whether it's regarding food or anything else, they start to see a pattern and they're able to start making some shifts so that where their values are, their goals can then align to their values.
I like that. And, you know, I tell people, you know, choices, you know, they're easy to make and they're easy not to make. But what people don't realize is that not making, you know, not saying yes, then you're saying no. So you're still making a choice. So you're not, I think people think if they're not, you know, doing something proactively, that they're just not taking action. But what they realize is, they don't realize, is they're taking action in the negative. So it still has results. So they need to own that. You know, one of the things that I love about what you do is really meeting people where they are to help them start to make changes in their lifestyle. Can you talk just a little bit more about that? And how do you know if somebody's really ready to make a change?
When I talk about meeting people where they are, everyone has different levels of what they think is healthy. There are some of my clients who have tried tons of diets, maybe every diet under the sun, have been struggling for many, many years, and who maybe know more about nutrition than is better for them, right? Because they've seen multiple doctors or therapists or nutritionists or people who they want to seek advice from, or they've looked up and done research on the internet about different dietary theories. So they think they know it all, but yet the approach is off. Maybe the idea behind the foods that they're eating is spot on, but the diet mentality isn't working for them. So I tend to see two different types of people. The people who know a ton about nutrition, and the people who maybe aren't making the best choices for their bodies because they just don't know. They just don't have the awareness of how to eat healthfully. And so they need to have a different approach than, say, the people who already know a lot about different dietary theories and superfoods, for instance. So the way that I approach that and the way I determine how ready someone is to take on this kind of work is by asking them different types of questions. You know, what is motivating their change? What would happen if they weren't to make these types of changes? And what I'm really trying to discover in asking these questions is who they're making these changes for. Are they making these changes because for them, if they don't, they'll be stuck in a rut? Or are they making changes because maybe a significant other is urging them to do so, or because they feel other people will judge them if they don't make the changes? And, you know, at this point in my career, I've become somewhat selective, because in working so intimately with people, I always say that, you know, my clients hire me as much as I hire them. It's a mutual relationship where there has to be a lot of trust, and in order to help someone make the best and the most of this experience, they have to be doing it for themselves. There has to be that intrinsic motivation to make these changes, whereas someone who's motivated by other factors isn't going to have the same experience. So that's definitely one of the first steps that I take before even working with someone, is just try to understand what's motivating them to change and where are they in wanting to make that change.
No, I agree. And that's why we ask people, you know, what's your big why? We need to take our final break. And when we come back, I want to continue this conversation because I think people understanding why they're doing something really is very important to, and really tied closely to the results that they get. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Stephanie Farrison, and we've been having a great conversation about body confidence, about knowing your big why you want to get healthy. And I love before the break where we were talking about power over food, and that's very different than willpower. And I love the way you talked about that, Stephanie. And before the break, we were talking about understanding why people are getting healthy. And I know for me, my big why is my children and grandchildren. I love getting down. I've got three grandchildren. I love getting down on the floor and playing with them. And tomorrow morning, we're going on a hike. And I love being able to do those things. And if I don't take care of myself, I'm not going to be able to do that and enjoy that time. So I know that's my big why on why I want to get healthy. And I love the fact that you have that conversation with people that you're working with.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind, is why you want to make the changes, because change, no matter what kind of change it is, can be uncomfortable and it can be challenging. And remembering why you started is an important thing to keep in mind as you're moving through that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I saw on your website that you use the tagline, make peace with food. Can you tell us what that means to you, and how do you incorporate that into the work you do with your clients?
Sure. So when I say make peace with food, what I really mean is to stop letting food, what you eat and what you weigh, dictate the way you live your life. And that's that nonstop calorie counting, scale weighing mentality of planning your dinner after you've just eaten breakfast, kind of obsession that can really just drive you nuts. And to stop compromising your life, your peace of mind, sense of self-worth, your social life, your love life, your career, your happiness, and your health for a thin body. To make peace with food really means to step into your full potential and to stop driving for perfection and start accepting more, to spend less time focusing on what you look like and more time doing what matters to you most, whether that's, you know, indulging in hobbies, spending time with loved ones, going on adventures. It's really inviting pleasure back to our lives. Give people fun ways of working on those things, whether they're exercises or action steps that I can give them that are focused on allowing more and restricting less, removing some of the guilt from the equation, and guiding my clients to finding pleasure in eating and in their bodies again. That, I find, is a really powerful way of helping them making the changes that they want to make. And as you can see, it doesn't really focus very heavily on food and what they're weighing, but more around the mentality around of food and how they're living their lives.
You know, people are so busy today, and they're doing so many things, and they're multitasking so much and taking care of everyone. Do you find that they struggle with knowing how to have fun and to relax?
Yes, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I like to do is ask people the way they want to feel. So many of my clients will say they want to feel relaxed. They just want to feel ease. And we look at the way that they're living. And what I was mentioning before about getting really crystal clear about where their values lie and where their goals are, this helps them identify any disconnect. So, for instance, if someone's telling me that they want to feel ease and peace and they just want to be a little bit more carefree, and yet when you look at their schedule and they're going from one activity to the next, to the next, to the next with no time for rest or any kind of relief, we start to question, you know, where there's some dissonance and how they can make those types of changes, where they can start maybe saying no a little bit more, and inviting more of that calm and peace into their lives and moving away from some of the chaos that they're almost unintentionally putting in because, again, there's that drive to do more, accomplish more, and just constantly be moving.
I know when I learned to start saying no to things and really looking at what I was saying yes to, it totally shifted just me and kind of gave me back ownership of my life.
That's exactly what this is all about. And I think what ultimately happens in that kind of shift that you make is that, in this case at least, people start to realize that it's really not about the food, nor has it ever been. This just kind of sheds light to that.
That's really interesting. That statement hits me. It's not about the food, yet so many of the things we do, we make it about the food. And I think when we make it about the food, then we don't really have to stop and think about what it's really about. So, you know, I challenge people to put the food down and really go back to, as you were talking earlier, to intuitive eating, listening to your body, learning what physical hunger feels like, really paying attention to those things that are right in front of us. Because I believe that we all know what we need to do and we know how to do it. Mm-hmm. The challenge is many people can't do it without support from people like yourself. And I think that's wonderful that they've got that. But it's a matter of saying, okay, I'm going to own my choices now. I'm going to stop letting food control me. And I'm going to start listening to my body. And I'm going to take back my life.
Right. And I love what you said about paying attention, because one of the biggest things is that with that mentality of just taking on so much and having food be just a fleeting thought where we're not really paying attention to what we're doing in any area of our lives, not even the food that we're eating. One of the things that I really encourage my clients to do is to, when they sit down for a meal, first of all, to actually sit down and eat and to not feel guilty about taking that time to eat, but to also just start to pay attention and feel present in the moment as they're eating. Because so often, like you said, you know, we're busy. Everyone has a busy life. We're doing a million things at once. And one of the hardest things that I hear from clients struggling with is that it's difficult to feel present in the moment. They're constantly thinking about the next to-do on their list. And so by redirecting their attention to what they're doing at that moment, it starts to make some really powerful shifts in, you know, how they structure their day even.
Absolutely. And I know we could have a whole conversation around that. But as we're wrapping up our time together, you shared so much and given us some great things to think about. How can our listeners get more information about you and what you have to offer?
Sure. So the best way to find out some more information and to reach out to me is through my website, which is at www.stephanieferrison.com. And I'm actually making some really exciting changes. So, you know, I would encourage people to please feel free to visit me there and see what kind of blog posts I'm putting up and new information that I'm sharing with everyone.
Perfect. And we'll put a link to your website on our eatgreatlivewellradio.com webpage, so they'll be able to go there and from the show, they'll be able to click and go directly to your website. So thank you very much for sharing that. Can you give our listeners just one action item that they can implement in the next week to start creating a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love?
Yes. So one of the greatest things that I think that you could do is when you go to sit down for a meal, I encourage listeners to just take a moment to breathe. We've been talking about paying attention and slowing down. And in breathing, I encourage you to take a few deep breaths before you start eating. And as you eat, continue breathing and continue noticing your breath as you eat. What that does is not only fires up our metabolism, but it's going to pull us back into the present moment and bring attention back to our food.
Thank you. That's a great tip and a great way to end our conversation. Thank you so much for everything you shared today, and I look forward to continuing the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a real pleasure for me. So until next week, remember that even small changes make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthier relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the conversation. Click on our Facebook link and share your thoughts. Share what you loved about today's conversation and what action you're going to take to start getting healthier and take back your power over food. Take care and have a great and healthy week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.